Then Jesus said to his disciples,
I tell you, do not worry about your life,
what you will eat,
or about your body,
what you will wear.
Consider the birds.
They do not plant or harvest.
They don't have a storeroom or a barn.
Yet,
God feeds them.
You are worth much more than birds.
Much more than the birds.
Consider how the flowers grow.
They never work.
Or spin yarn for clothes.
But not even Solomon,
in all his majesty, was dressed like one of these flowers.
If that is how God clothes the grass of the field,
which is here today,
and tomorrow is thrown into the fire.
How much more?
How much more?
How much more?
Will he clothe you?
You would think, because of the truths that we just saw in that video, that the words finances and peace would naturally go together. That's not the case now. It wasn't the case 2,000 years ago as Jesus was teaching thousands of people in Galilee. I'd invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 12, and we'll look at different parts of this chapter through the course of the message. It's our goal that the generous God would give us what we lack, that he would give us financial peace. As Jesus was teaching the crowds that day, an evidence of a lack of financial peace was evident. Verse 13, someone in the crowd said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Family arguments are peace robbers, aren't they? Many of you have probably experienced that at times of inheritance. One sibling feels like they've been shortchanged, or the siblings kind of gang up on another sibling and say, "Oh, he's greedy and he's trying to get more than us." Arguments arise over and over again about finances, especially at the time of inheritance. But it doesn't have to be then. Couples argue. They hide their bills. They argue about how much credit card debt we should have. Even parents and children can argue, you know, who's going to pay your car insurance? Is it dad and mom's responsibility or yours? Why can't you buy what I want right now? Just go to the bank, Mom, and get some money. Family arguments, they were then, back then, and they're present today. And when you start to argue about money, man, it takes all the peace away. As Jesus goes on in this conversation, he talks about another peace robber. He talks about worry. Verse 22, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes." And then verse 26, "Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Don't worry." Easier said than done, Jesus. Last Thursday night, I was visiting with a group of people in a small group, and one of the brothers, my friend, shared with me that he might lose his job, but don't worry, right? Man, that's hard when you're not sure if you're going to be able to pay your bills. And maybe you're not facing the loss of job, but that you have more month left than money. Jesus says, don't worry, but it's really hard not to worry. And that just takes all the fun out of thinking about money. There is no peace. Jesus also talks about something that affects us, especially as Christians. You would think that we as Christians have this incredible advantage, and we do in one way, but in another way we don't. You and I know that we're going to face a judgment. And when we think about our finances and how we use our finances, we can be filled with an incredible fear of God's judgment. Just listen to what Jesus says in verse 35. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, and will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or at daybreak. Oh, that sounds great. But then Jesus goes on. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect. Jesus is going to come back as a judge, and he's going to be looking at the way that you and I use our finances. Now, Peter says, Jesus, you know, are you saying this to the crowds, or are you saying this to us? And we would like Jesus to say, hey, Peter, don't worry about it. I was just talking to the crowd, but you're my committed disciples. But Jesus doesn't do that. Jesus doubles down. Look at the next paragraph, verse 42. The Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food at the food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Jesus' words didn't exactly set Peter's mind at ease and say, oh, there's nothing to worry about. That Jesus is going to come back as a judge, and he is going to judge everything about our lives, and he is going to look at the way that we use our finances. And so we as Christians, when we are cognizant that there is a God who is watching every move that we make financially, we have something that the rest of the world maybe doesn't have as much. We have this peace robber that says, I'm afraid of God's judgment. And that many of you may be at that stage in life where you are robbed of financial peace, not because you're worried about making ends meet, but because you have the challenge of much. Jesus talks about that challenge in verse 48, beginning right in the middle of that verse. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded, and from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Especially if you're at about my stage in life, you've spent your lifetime, and if God has blessed you financially, you've put aside a nest egg to prepare for retirement, or maybe you're in retirement, and you have to say, God has blessed me with much. And now God says, to whom much is given, much more will be required. And there's no financial peace because there's this question, what more should I be doing to leave a legacy to the next generation? But it's not just those who we look up at and say, rich. It's really all of us. This past week, I watched a movie. Joni and I watched a movie set in India, and it just reminded me that we are all incredibly rich. I went to the website again, globalrichlist.com. Have you gone to that website recently? It's a great website. You type in your income, and you find out where you rank in the 7 billion people in the world. I happen to be 5,596th most rich person in the world. You know, compared to so many others, to whom much is given, much is required, that challenge of much applies really to all of us. But what is the ultimate financial peace robber? The ultimate financial peace robber is what Jesus said to that man who had this family argument about money. He said in this verse 15, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in abundance of possessions." The ultimate financial peace robber is that we fall into the trap of trying to find satisfaction and fullness in one way or another from our finances, and finances can't give us financial peace. Because no matter how much we have, it'll never be enough. And no matter how we use it, we have a sinful nature that leads us to misuse what God has given us. So we confess the peace robbers in our lives. That's what Solomon said in Proverbs 28, "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." So when you think about finances, what robs you of peace? We confess, and then we turn to our generous God who can create financial peace. And how do we do that? How do we not worry anymore? The Apostle Paul says, faith comes by hearing the message. And so we just want to hear the promises of God again, trusting that those promises of God will be used by this Almighty God to create something incredible within us, a trust in his promises and financial peace. So what does Jesus say? He reminds us that our God feeds the birds of the air, that he can take care of even the smallest things. I'm reminded of Psalm 50, where God says, "I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird in the mountains, and the insects in the fields are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it." Isn't that a fascinating thought? That no matter what we could point to, God says, "Oh, that's mine." No matter what possession we point to, God says, "Oh, that's mine." No matter what toy you see on TV that you go, "Boy, I wish I could have that," God says, "It's already mine." All the gold in Fort Knox, God says, "It's already mine." God is a God of infinite resources. There's nothing that he cannot give us. But does he want to supply our needs? Jesus said that the Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Now, this is such an important thought. The Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. The Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. I have to hear that again. That to give me the kingdom. There's something woven into every part of our being that says we have to earn God's pleasure. And Jesus says, "No, no, 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 no. The Father wants to give you something. even more than all the infinite resources here that he has. He wants to give you something even better. He wants to give you the kingdom. And there's a part of me that says, oh, yeah, God will allow me to be a kingdom, but be a part of his kingdom, but I'll have to live in a shack in the far corner of his kingdom because God really doesn't want me. But no, Jesus says, the Father is pleased to give us the kingdom. And when he says, I want to give you the kingdom, remember the very last vision that Jesus gave to John in Revelation 22. The very last vision is John sees us, God's church, living and reigning with Christ forever. You and I don't have some shack in the woods far removed from the throne of God in his kingdom, that you and I are sitting on thrones right next to our Savior. Ephesians chapter 2 says we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. Just as Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God, we are already by faith seated with him. We are part of his kingdom because all the sins that we have committed, he already atoned for them. There's nothing that we have to do. We just believe that his blood covers all of the sins that the peace robbers have caused us to commit. He is pleased to give us the kingdom. And when he promises us the kingdom, he gives us this promise of eternal life. Then he says, and don't be afraid because the Father already knows what you need. The Father knows what you need. He is a God of infinite resources. He is a God who is pleased to give you the best, a kingdom that will last forever, that you are kings and queens who will rule with him forever because Jesus died for your sins and mine. And he knows what you need. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. How do we regain this financial peace that God wants us to have? It's by hearing these promises again and again that we have a generous God, and those promises God uses to create in us faith, a financial peace. Blood of Jesus has covered all of our sins, and we live and rule with him. And he is a God who doesn't want us to be controlled by the peace robbers. That's why Jesus said in this text, verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for the Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Why does he say, sell your possessions and give to the poor? Why do we give? We give because of what Jesus has done for us. We give because we love this domino effect that when we are generous, we look just like our Father in heaven, and we are making an impact for eternity. But we also give for our own spiritual welfare. Jesus was talking to people who had family arguments about money, that money was the most important thing. Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. I don't really care if my brother likes me or not. I just want the money. And Jesus says, you know what? When you're under the grasp of that financial peace robber, the best thing that you can do is trust the financial peace creator and then act on that trust. To open up your hand and say, God, I'm going to give offerings to you. I'm going to care for those around me. I'm going to open up my hand because I don't have to hold on for dear life to everything that you've given me, because I know that you're this God of infinite resources. And one of the ways that I put that into practice is I give my offerings. And that's one of the ways that we battle against those financial peace robbers. We say no to Satan's fear and shame and pride. And we say yes to the God who has died for us. And it's all yours. And we can give generously and cheerfully. That whole idea of a financial peace seems pretty unlikely. That's certainly the way a young couple felt. I'd like to show you a video of this young couple, Chad and Ashley, who felt like financial peace was just beyond them. Let's watch the video now.
Whenever we first got married, I was, I thought I had it all figured out. I was full of pride in all areas, and I was afraid of her leaving. I never let her inside to know who I really was.
Is it cool if I go all Larry King on you? I aggravated just as many situations as I helped, because I felt like it was my role to always argue and to make sure my voice was heard.
We kept everything totally separate. She had a bank account, I had a bank account, and we split the bills right down the middle.
Give me a five. Good girl.
That's the most spoiled dog you ever seen in your whole life. You see her big bucket of toys right there.
She's well taken care of. I aggravated just as many situations as I helped. You know, you say we should go left. I say we should turn right 3 times. Obviously, what we were doing was not working. I mean, we were headed for a train wreck in a big way. We are all a little bit nerdy about the things we care about. Am I right?
Yes.
I think so.
I listened to this show for 2 weeks. I was laughing about all the stupid people out there before I realized that I was one of those stupid people. And I knew for sure that I needed to take this home to my wife and that this was going to be the first thing that we grasped a hold of and did together. I said, honey, I think we need to read this book. We need to follow this program and get out of debt. And she said, okay.
When Chad brought this in, I was filled with immediate dread. He didn't know about, you know, my 2 student loans. He didn't know about the Victoria's Secret credit card.
I was kind of had mixed feelings. One part of me was like, really? You know, really? And now we're gonna walk through these baby steps and it's gonna change our lives.
It was the first time, I think, I'll say even in my entire life, that I was 150% honest with somebody.
Yeah.
I had never had that in any relationship.
Those pride walls got broken down and I remember it hadn't been a week after we did our first budget, probably, that's the first time that we sat down to pray together. Man, things changed, you know, from then on. It was like, oh my gosh, you know, I love this lady. I can be myself around her.
He could take me at my worst and still love me, still like me. And so I felt like we were married for the first time.
That was another commitment that we made to each other, was that we're gonna spend all of our money together. We're gonna stop fibbing to each other about anything. We're just gonna be up front, and if the other one can't handle it, you can't handle it, you know?
He became not just the guy I married, but like the love of my life. I love everything about him. I have no doubt that if I follow where he goes, that we're gonna be successful and really happy.
Like I've said before, I wouldn't be anything if it wasn't for her. The first thing that I think about is her inner beauty and just how wonderful it is and how good it makes me feel. I can't mess this up, you know. I have to do better so that we get better and we end up where we want to go.
We're just adding fuel to the y'all are crazy fire.
We are crazy. If there's anything that I've learned from this journey, is that I can trust my wife, I can trust God, and I can trust Dave's plan to work every time.
I will never be more proud of anything that we do together than, you know, May 24th, 2013, we were debt free.
For an awful lot of us, financial peace is just a dream. And so as we close the message this morning, let's just confess to our God that I don't have the financial peace that I want. And claim again God's forgiveness. And claim again that for financial peace. we confess. Lord, some of us here have no financial peace because arguments in our family, finances just tear us apart. We have hidden things like this couple. Some of us have to confess that there is no financial peace because we're never satisfied, we're never enough. Some of us have no financial peace because our finances have just spun out of control. We've always wanted more and we've racked up a credit card debt, or things have happened in our lives and suddenly we're so overwhelmed and there is no financial peace. And some of us are just overwhelmed because you've given us so much and we're going, Lord, how do you want us to use it well to glorify your name? It's a responsibility that's a heavy burden on our hearts. Whatever the peace robbers are, Lord, we just lay them out before you. And we claim your promises. We claim the financial peace that only you can give. We claim your forgiveness in Christ. We claim your promise that you are a God of infinite resources. We claim the promise that you've given us the kingdom already. And that you know all our needs. And we trust in you. Amen.